Hold on a second. Thanks for the reminder, Alan.
Okay, no worries. My memory goes as I get older too, Neil. God bless him. Well, it's a bit tough following the children's thing, but Bill, you better have a great day today or you're going to disappoint a lot of children. So, as the summer's pretty much drawn to an end, hopefully we'll get a bit more warm weather before it does. But one of the things we really want to begin to emphasize and develop is a number of small groups in the church. There are a number of things you can do in small groups that you can't do on a sunny morning. You won't be looking at the back of someone's head. That's generally a blessing. But you can pray for one another, you can practice spiritual gifts, you can take communion, you can encourage one another, you can share what's happening in your life, you can share testimony. We can do those in a very limited fashion on a Sunday morning. So we want to really emphasize the importance of developing small groups, and we're beginning to putting some work into that. I actually need to set an example, and I'm happy to do so. So I'm going to be starting a small group on Tuesday the 27th of September. Yeah. And I'm going to be teaching on law and grace, and basically this is the purpose is to help people live without any legalism in their lives. Who thinks that's a good idea, living without legalism? So praise the Lord, so do I. So there's a sign-up sheet out there. If you'd like to come, we'd love to have you. If there's too many, we'll meet at the church. If it's a workable number, we'll meet at my house. The other thing is, for people that have been in the church for 12 months or around about that, we want to actually start a newcomers group. If you've got a better working name for that, let me know. And if it's inspirational, we'll use it. Probably it will last 6 to 8 weeks, and it'll be teaching on the foundational things that are important to this church particularly. So Bill and I will be teaching that. And there's a sign up for that too. There's also a couple of other sign ups. If you want to host a small group but not lead it, could you please sign that sheet? And if you want to lead a small group or attend a small group, please sign that one as well. So you've got 4 clipboards out there with different sheets on each. So I'm hoping that you'll take the time during your coffee break and your chat to go look at them and decide what the Lord wants you to do. And we're hoping to get many, many people blessed by attending and participating in small groups in the coming year. And years, right, Bill? Amen. Have a great day, Bill.
Amen. How are you going to do this, Bill? You want to go up there? Yeah. Well, let me pray for you first. Father, thank you. Thank you for Bill. Thank you for the special day. Thank you for the joy of the Lord that is filling his heart. And thank you that we are all here ready to receive. I thank you for the seed of your word. And we look to you and we trust you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's one of those rare Sunday mornings where I am kind of forced to be stand above you. This is pretty good. So we'll make it, that means I'm limited to where I can move and walk, and unless Neil moves a whole bunch of stuff. Wow, children, thank you. I know not all of you came up here, but it's a privilege to be blessed for by little children, younger children, and thank you for doing so. And yes, I am 59 years old, and from now on, I will remain 59, so. Somehow, I've never been bothered much by the turn of the decade, so we'll see. Just order of this morning. So at the end of the service, we are having baptisms, and there's 5 of you here. And I hope to give you a cue about 5 minutes before I finish speaking, so you can go and prepare it in whatever way you need to. And we'll have you share your testimonies in a row, and then we will proceed with baptism. So we actually have one dad who is going to baptize a daughter. We have a friend who was key in bringing a friend to the Lord. He'll be baptizing his friend, and then I will do, as far as I know, the other 3. This morning, and welcome to everyone. If you're not, you know, I want to give a special hello to Ken and Guy coming here from Calgary this morning. Thank you for coming. Ken has spoken here a number of times, although it's been a while, so for some of you, you have no idea who I'm talking about, but the rest of you. Ken pastors a church in Calgary that meets on Saturday night. Still does? Yes? Okay? And Guy's been a faithful attendee and worker alongside Ken. And Ken is a spiritual father too. So last name is Gil. Okay, so he oversees Ripple Ministries. Ripple Ministries. And the church he passes, Ripple Center. And spiritual father to a number of us here, so especially welcome. I'm going to read to you this morning out of John chapter 1. My message is called Children of God, Born of God. I'll read verses 1 through 14. John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So Janae, if you don't mind keeping verses 12 and 13 on the screen this morning, which is where we're focusing, and we'll actually work backwards, do someone verse 13 and then end up at verse 12. I got a whole bunch of questions. I love asking questions because sometimes you get the puzzled look on people, and people have asked me the right questions. They have bugged me for months and sometimes years because you're forced to wrestle with it. And the first question is, who's your father? Okay. You say, yeah, you got a biological father, but who's your father? Who's your heavenly father? Okay. Now, each one of you, I'm going to believe, going to answer it differently. Because I could phrase the question this way. Who is God to you? Who is your heavenly Father to you? Because how you perceive him, how you've experienced him, how you know him is going to have a direct correlation as to how you operate, how you live, how you think as his child. Think of your biological father. Some of you he's no longer here. Some of you are estranged from him, and some of you have a very good connection with him. So your connection with him, whatever it was, determines how you, as a child, live as a son or daughter to your father. If he was easily approachable, you have a stronger connection. If he is someone who was a hard taskmaster, someone who verbally abused you, and it was never corrected, you're going to have a different view of your father. So here's a question. Who's your father? What's your testimony of him? Are you his child? Are you born again? I know we got baptisms this morning, and we're going to go back to some very basics. How does God acquire his children? You say supernaturally? I'm going to presume you know how you were born physically, how that came about. The Bible says we humans are created in the image of God, but not all of God's children in that sense are children of God because they're not born again. Every human being is an image bearer, and that's being attacked today, by the way. Think of the enemy schemings with that. Goes back to Genesis 6. I'm not going there this morning, but you know what it says in verse 1? How the sons of God saw the daughters of men. And as a result, it's one of the reasons God sent the flood. Because the demonic in the humans created something that was different than just pure image bearers. Now, if you were asked, young people, Older people, if you were asked, could you explain how a person is born again? Can you do so? If you're in evangelism mode, if you have an opportunity in front of you to lead someone to Jesus, someone is in a mess, someone is troubled, and can you tell them what's required, what it means to be born again? It's the one of the basics of Christianity, right? It's about coming into experiencing the kingdom. And by the way, Jesus only addresses that one time. And everything else that he has to say is about life in the kingdom. But can you explain to a person what it means or how to be born again? And then what does it mean to be born again? Well, it depends who you ask. For some of us, being born again doesn't make a whole lot of change. We still got this heaviness over us. We still got this self-hatred going on. We still got this low self-esteem. We still got these fears. We're still stressed out, and we still worry, and we still try and protect, and we still try and gather. And for others, it's the most liberating experience that has become. Wow. How come? What does it look like on the other side of being born again? Well, it depends who you ask. What's your experience of your father? Because that's going to dictate what it means to be his child. We didn't read there, but a familiar passage in John chapter 3. We got Nicodemus, one of the Pharisees. He'd been watching, he'd been observing Jesus for a long time. I believe for a long time. And he observed things. This man spoke with power. Things changed when he came on the scene. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. He had observed, he'd taken note, and there was something different about this Jesus than any other rabbi that had ever walked in his lifetime. And you know the response of Jesus in verse 3. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's an interesting response. Nicodemus acknowledged that the signs Jesus performed could only be the result of God empowering him. Well, we know the enemy does the counterfeit, but they only go so far. I was on a prayer call this past week, and a lady by the name of Patty Amston was sharing how she has been decreeing that the demon world will not match the power of Christians. Since one of the examples she used was in the days of Pharaoh. Right? Okay. Moses comes and performs a sign. Well, the astrologers could do it, or the magicians could do it, but they could only go so far. Oh, there's the counterfeit, but the kingdom goes farther. And Jesus spoke with power and with authority and signs and wonders. He believed that what he heard and witnessed was God's work. Now, he was a Pharisee, and many of the Pharisees were unable to see what Nick saw. Later, Jesus calls them blind guides, leading the blind. So the Lord's response is interesting. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So if you're not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Even when it manifests. Jesus says, behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so if you're not born again, you will not recognize when the kingdom of God is at hand. So what Nicodemus was seeing was the kingdom of God. But did he recognize it? I don't think so. Because Jesus, in his response, is teaching him, is challenging him. Nicodemus, are you recognizing what you're seeing? I know most of you here this morning. Not all of you. Do you recognize the kingdom of God when you see it? When someone operates in the authority and power of the Spirit of God, do you recognize it? Do you recognize when God moves into an assembly with his presence? Do you see the kingdom of God manifested when a word of life is released? What if you could become more like Jesus? The Jesus who says he indwells you. And in ones like you can read the other person's mind. Word of knowledge. Word of wisdom. Are you there? What's on the other side of being born again? Now, Nicodemus responds with a couple of questions. How can a man be born again when he's old? And can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, Nicodemus knew the basics of procreation. He knew that a woman's egg and a man's sperm cell, when they come together and they go down the fallopian tube into the uterus and attach itself, then conception is taking place. And now a baby begins to grow. And around nine months later, a baby's born. Kids, if you don't know what I'm talking about, talk to your dad. He'll explain it to you. That's not my job. Can a man be born again and a second time enter into his mother's womb? Nicodemus understood that. That's the human birth. Now, spiritual birth, according to verse 5, is unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom. Human birth, there's an egg and a sperm cell that come together resulting in flesh and blood, but spiritual birth is water and the Spirit. And as a result, a spiritual birth is conceived. I know there's been discussions around what does that mean, water and the Spirit. I'll tell you very simply what I believe without a shadow of a doubt. The Spirit we know is the Holy Spirit, and this is the water. Combine the Word of God and the breathing of God's Spirit on it, and you get spiritual conception. That simple. And some would say, but it ain't that easy. No, it wasn't that easy for Jesus, but it is that easy for you. And I'm speaking specifically this morning for anyone here who does not know that they're born again, that does not know what it means to see the kingdom of God, who does not know that their sins can be forgiven, and no matter where they've been, no matter how ugly their past is, there is forgiveness for you. Amen. When you take God at His word, and the Spirit of God is present, which is present in His word, and you say, that is mine. That's the moment you get born again. Now, born again, and so you could say, you know, it's born from above. So verse 13, I said we work backwards, right? So verse 13, we go to verse 12. It says, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. In other words, it's not by descent. Allow me to say this on a baptism Sunday morning. God doesn't have grandchildren. Amen. And so sprinkling babies and believing they're saved, according to this verse, cannot be. It's not by descent, not by desire, or by human power. It has nothing to do with natural parents to be born again. Now, we can believe for our children. Those, and when we train, raise our children up in the fear of the Lord, they will not depart when they become older. We believe in household salvation, Acts 16. But each person must be born again. It has nothing to do with mom and dad can do. Oh, they are to use the means, but each one has to get born again by repenting and believing on Christ. And it has nothing to do with any impulse or plan of man. In other words, we can't make it happen. We cannot make it happen in our human nature. Right. And allow me to say this, and I'm not here against bashing anyone else. I personally have a concern about making a decision for Jesus. I don't like the language. Let's stay biblical. Repent and believe. And God does the work that when we use biblical language and biblical means and the work, the heart gets changed and it's more than an intellectual decision. Amen. You can't make it happen. It's a God work. Now, this is good because if it was up to us, we'd all be lost forever. So the earlier question I raised was, how does God acquire his children? Well, John 3 says we're born through water and the Spirit, the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Because Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. And you should call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sin. John says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There is no other way, but it is but through Jesus. Jesus says in John 14 or John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. So application is verse 12. It says, as many as received him. Some translations say, as many as believed him. As many as received him. Now, I'm going to say, this is the Word of God, right? And the Word of God is Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so everything in this book is what God is saying. And so the promises are there, the commands are there, the encouragements are there, the prophecies are there, the stories are there. It's God. So now if I'm going to illustrate this, as many as received him, if I'm going to say to Mark, I'm going to extend this Bible to you, the Word of God to you, I need it back, but okay. Right? And as many, so if he's willing to receive it, everything in this book is his. And some say, stand there like this, but I can't take it. I was raised that way. It's called the doctrine of election. If you're not elect, you won't be saved. And so they decided they weren't elect because they kept their arms crossed. Who are you to decide? God says, if you will take this, you can take it now. If you take this Bible, I want it back late before the end of the day, but if you take this Bible, that Word of God is his. Every promise, every word. When Jesus, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the light. I am the resurrection. I am the hope of Israel. I'm the balm of Gilead. I am the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Everyone, as many as received him, to them he gave their right. Thank you. To become children of God. To what extent have you received this? To what extent? You say, I'm born again. Okay, you're born again. Experiencing abundant life? Yeah, you know, I got this devil. Yeah, I know. He isn't going to go away anytime soon. I got my sinful flesh. No, you don't. That one died. But you give in to your flesh. Your sinful nature is gone. Amen. Well, I got this unbelief. Okay, but don't you have the Spirit of God? Don't you have the Word of God? To what extent have you received him? As many as received him, to them he gave the power, or the Greek word is exousia. Some translations say authority, some say power. Here, my translation says the right to become the children of God. Do you think God might be more willing to give than we are willing to receive? Do you think sometimes our unbelief gets in the way? And so I think it's the NLT that says, as many as believed him. Wow, so faith is a component here. To them he gave the power to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, according to the Word of God, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. To them he gave the power. It's more than the idea of privilege or right, because it means delegated power. It refers to authority given to the saints. So God is saying, here's my authority. Here's my sword of the Spirit. Here's my book of life. I'm delegating it to you. And to the extent that you eat it, to the extent that you live it, to that extent will you be a child of God. We're not questioning the point, am I saved, am I not saved? But it's, to what extent are you living like a child of God? So when I said earlier, who's your father? Well, depends who you ask. depends on your experience, depends on your level of faith. God authorizing those who believe to act to the extent, let me put it this way, as I wrote it here, God authorizing them to act to the extent they are guided by faith. I heard Dave pray for Canada. I heard him pray that we would step into what we're called to do. So we're no longer the pawns that bring evil, continue to allow evil to go happen. Jesus says to some, according to your faith, so be it. God's not limiting you. We might be limiting him. So here's two examples of how exousia is used in Matthew 9, 6. But that you may know that the Son of Man has, same word, power, has exousia on earth to forgive sins. Then he said to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Matthew 10, 1. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power, he gave them exousia over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now think about this latter example. He gave them power. So they come across someone on a sickbed or someone who they discern is oppressed by a demonic entity. And they just stand back there and do nothing. What's going to change? Nothing. But as they step into the delegated power, the demon gets cast out and the sickness gets eradicated. And to the extent that you take God at his word, to that extent will you experience and see the kingdom. Not just out there, but done through your hands and your mouth and your feet and your prayer and your declarations. Because you, who are a child of God, are a miracle. You know that? Can you explain logically how the Word, the Spirit and water, transformed your life? We can explain human conception, kind of. Can you explain supernatural conception and as a result, you become a child of the Creator. You become a child of the eternal God. You become a child of someone who's omniscient, who's omnipresent, who is love. Can you understand that? And that God indwells you and he now delegates the power to you to enjoy everything that he is. If you had a daddy that it was natural for you to sit on his lap, you could ask him anything you wanted. And if he could, he'd give it to you. Now, how many times do we need to multiply that to earthly father, heavenly father? As Jesus said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly father give good things or give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? You are an expression of God's supernatural transforming power. Verse 12, to the extent that you receive Jesus Christ by faith, to that extent will his delegated power manifest in you to become children of God. Now, you don't expect a little 3-month baby to behave like a toddler, or a toddler to behave like a grade 1, or a grade 1 like a grade 7, etc., etc. And you don't expect a brand new believer to be as mature as someone who has walked with Jesus for 30 years. But I want to say to us, none of us have achieved the potential God has for us. But to the extent that you take him at his word, to that extent will you display being a child of God. So if God is your father, what are the possibilities in front of you? I know. We look at the obstacles. We look at the hindrances. We look at the trip-ups. We look at the discouragements. We look at the garbage. We look at everything else. But looking unto Jesus. I heard Jacqueline say, Jesus is enough. And I heard the echo from the people here. We agreed. So if Jesus is enough and you have a Father in heaven, what are the possibilities? What are the opportunities that make your problems go away? If you're a child of God, you have no problems. Do you? Well, you see, you don't know my life. It's not your problem. If someone has it, it's his problem. If you have obstacles, it's not for you to move. You got a daddy, a heavenly daddy. Because if it's your problem, if it's your issue, if it's your trouble, if it's your stress, and if it's your worry, you're living like an orphan. Come on. An orphan has to protect, an orphan has to worry, an orphan has to fret, an orphan has to gather, an orphan has to fear. But a son says, I carry my father's heart, and I know my daddy. There is no mountain too big that he can't move. Oh, I know there's obstacles, and I'm making it sound real easy. However, to those who embraced him, to those who believed him, to them he gave the power, the delegated power to live like a child of God. And then when a child of God lives like a child of God, they are royalty. They know the promises. And I often use this illustration. When Jesus came to feed the 5,000, he didn't say, man, how am I going to do this? All he did was gather what you got. Father, I thank you, and it multiplied. It wasn't his problem. Right. Wow, we got a ways to go. What's on the other side of being born again? Jesus says abundant life. We haven't arrived. And we'll never arrive in this world. But there's way more than where you're at. And we come together corporately, we encourage each other that way, unless I am not preaching the Word of God faithfully and in truth. Then you need to tell me. Now for some of us, be sensitive to time. We don't believe it's for us. It might be for you, and it might be for my spouse, it might be for my parent, it might be for my friend, it might be for that believer, but for me, it's too late. It's too big. It's too long. It's been too hard. That's a lie. No matter the mountain, no matter the obstacle, no matter the hindrance, no matter whatever the devil is putting in front of you, no matter what he's messing with between your ears. What did I say to Mark? Can you line it up with Scripture? And if you can't, it's got to go. As many times as it comes at you. Well, I know sometimes we grovel for a day or 2 days and even a week, and sometimes a month or even longer. Got to get back up. It's not about if you fall, but a righteous man gets up again. By his grace, we'll persevere. Now, sometimes it is, well, if only I saw more examples around me. Well, are you seeing the kingdom around you? If you're not born again, you're going to have a hard time seeing it. And maybe we need more examples. Some calling us up here. I want to thank you for allowing me to grow. Sometimes people tell me, Bill, you preach with more authority and freedom than you did 3 years ago. Praise God. Thank you for praying. Right. But I'm looking for growth in you too. I need you to encourage me. Right. And together we go forward. We're a team. We're a family. That's right. And some days I have a down day and you have a down day, and we need each other there to keep on keeping on. Right. Not with pulling up our bootstrings, but say, God, everything is done in Jesus Christ. The promises are yes and amen. I was on the screen this morning. And so yes, by his grace we can. By his grace we will. And yes, it is for me. And I'm going to look for examples. And sometimes we need to approach somebody and say, hey, can you teach me? Can I walk in? Can I follow you? We also need to grow in discipling and being discipled. So as you pursue and experience God, I'll give you the 5-minute mark here. I was going to. All right. Just remember, look at the clock. If you need to get changed, the five of you then. It's a good time to do it. If not, then stay here. As you pursue and experience God, you will manifest His power and blessings in you and through you. God says this in Malachi, right? Test me in this. Psalm 37, I think it's Psalm 37. Cast your cares upon me, or share with me the desires of your heart. Have you ever stood on a promise of God and God said, no, that one's not for you? I know for some of you, you struggle hearing Him. And it comes back to my first question, who's your Father? Do you hear Him? I read this the other day. Now, I know this is in my Bible. I got to fill 5 minutes. No, I don't. You know how it says in Revelation that there's going to be a great white throne judgment? And there's a bema seat of Christ. And the bema seat is for us. And we will be judged according to our works. Now, some of you are going, oh. Because there may be some things that are good and all kinds of things that I can't get rewards for. Remember I said about Roland Buck at family camp? Well, this angel came back on another time and gave another explanation, and he honed in on this. He said, God only records the good. In other words, if you've got 75 failures and 15 positives, there is no record in heaven of the 75. It's like a replay of your life. So you got film and it got edited. They cut out some tape. And so it's success after success after success after success. That's your Father. Because it says He is faithful to remember it no more. And if it's not in God's memory bank, it has no business being in the book of writings. So I think that's biblical, right? And so when you're afraid to go to God because, look, I just confessed this 2 hours ago, it's erased out of His memory bank. In one sense, if you were to talk back and say, God, here I come again, He says, what are you talking about? Because it's gone. It's like you're coming to Him for the first time. That's God's love. That's God's heart to all of His children. To those who take Him at His word, to them He gave the right to become children of God. And God's children, or at least how God sees His children, what He sees, He love, grace, peace, blessing, rest, provision, abundance, overflowing, encouragement, the blood of Jesus, His righteousness, His justification, sanctification, and a host of angels rejoicing over every success story that God's people do. And no lamenting over the failures that you keep beating yourself up with. Because you are worthy, He paid with His life for yours. You're not worthless. You're priceless. Amen. Can you receive that? I'm going to skip the last little bit here, but if you here this morning are not a believer, what part of verse 12 don't you want? What part to those who are as many as received Him? That means you take the message from this morning, if you heard God speaking, and you say, I want this. It's for me. To them He gave the power, so the power is present to receive what He said, so you too become a child of God. Now, we have never yet had the experience, but I would rejoice if we had it today, where we had an unexpected baptism. We have 5 people scheduled to be baptized. The Bible says, repent and believe and be baptized. There is no time delay required. And I'm not talking about the mental decision. This is about if you are convicted of your sin and you need a Savior. Jesus says, come to me. All you are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom. But to be born again is to be born of the water and the Spirit. The Spirit of God's here. The Word is here. And when you say, that's mine, that's for me. And you repent and you say, Lord, here's my sin, and I want to receive your righteousness by faith. You can go in those waters of baptism like this. And on the heels of that, you get a bonus. It's biblical. We'll lay hands on you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit too. Amen. Neil, you can come on up. I'm not sure if any of the people came back yet. I know Dave's still here. I want to have the people share. Yeah?
Should everybody share first?
I think so. Yep. So don't let people intimidate you. You know, what's my spouse going to think? What's my dad going to think? What are my friends going to think? It's between you and Jesus.
Amen.
It's got nothing to do with anyone else but you and Jesus. So, ladies and gentlemen, come on up. We're going to have you share testimonies. So, Dawn, Mary Louise, Rebecca, Carla, and Dave. We will have ladies share first.